Record. Okay.
Cool. Oh,
Ooh.
loud.
Well, thank you for joining me today, Leo. I am here with Leo, one of our product managers at AB Tasty, and we are going to talk all about performance. So, the first question to Leo, in a few words, can you talk to me about performance? What is it? What is it? What do we do to maintain it? What do we do to increase it? Why is it important overall at AB Tasty?
Yeah, hello, Margaret, and I'm very excited to talk about performance today, actually, because that's a very good topic for me. Well, performance, it has always been a concern for AB Tasty. I've been working there for 8 years now, and I always been hearing about performance, about the tag, so it's not new for us. Though it became a main priority of the tag team, when Google launched its Core Web Vitals and the impact of Web Vitals on SEO maybe 3 or 4 years ago. When we had the news at this very moment, and for 2 years straight at that time, one of the only thing we work on was performance. This really became to be our biggest priority. We reached tremendous milestones very quickly. It was very exciting to have. And we deployed fantastic innovations that help us greatly increase performance. A lot of cool stuff, a lot of very interesting and helpful feature. And since then, well, we never stopped. We lowered the priority a bit, but we have kept bringing cool and innovating things into our tag, into the app, into, well, the overall experience for our user, to keep reaching the extra mile and making sure we remain at the forefront of this topic. Because, well, with our new feature, we really went well, as I said, we reached tremendous improvement, and we really wanted to stay on top of everyone on this topic.
That sounds great. And yes, as far as I can see as well, we're definitely setting the bar very high for ourselves as well as for our competitors. And speaking of the competitors, you recently wrote a blog post that explored the data from a report on GitHub that was by Patrick Hulse, which looked at us as well as other competitors. Can you tell me in a few words, and of course, we'll direct everyone to that wonderful blog post. Can you tell me in a few words, like why you did this analysis and what it was that you discovered?
Well, first, a bit of context. This report was it was on a website, and well, let's say it was a no-brainer analysis of a complete data set that was gathered first by HTTP Archive. HTTP Archive is, well, let's say, a non-profit which goal is to gather data about a lot of various stuff. You can go to their website and check. But they have one data set about performance, and they are gathering data about, well, hundreds of thousands of websites, and give them for free, like open source. So this website, this report was using this data, well, to run DataViz and give visitors of this website a snapshot of an analysis of this data set. This report was, and it's still showing us as being 4 times slower than some of our competitor. And overall, it shows us being like behind everyone in our industry. So obviously, when we saw this report, it was confusing and a shock for my team and I, and for everyone at AB Tasty, because, as I said just before, we've been spending a lot of time and effort working on performance. So, to be completely honest and humble on that, my first goal when I saw this report was to understand it, but also, most important, understand what our competitor were doing better than us, because I really think that we had an issue with our performance, and I wanted to know what they could possibly be doing better than us. If they were doing something very fancy and interesting, maybe we could, well, get inspired and do it as well, so that everybody get benefit from it. I found some things to improve. Obviously, we are not perfect, and there were things that were really needed to improve. But after a while, I started doing a deeper analysis on this report, and I went to the source and used the complete data set from HTTP Archive, which is, as I said, a huge set of data that needs to be digged into. And I've done my own math, my own statistics, and I came to the conclusion that this report contains a lot of biases. I'm an engineer myself, and I know that statistics should be well understood, and very often there are a lot of biases in general. And that's sadly particularly true when they are used in a marketing campaign, in an advertisement. Obviously, you use statistics to make your product or service shine. So even if the statistic is true, well, there are a lot of things going on after that. Like, for example, if you want to buy a new phone, if I simply tell you that this phone is 4 times better than the competition, well, without any other piece of information, without understanding what I'm talking about, what lies behind this figure, maybe you wouldn't buy it because, well, you shouldn't buy it because you can't just take your decision on that. And
Very
this
good
is
point, for sure.
a And that's exactly what this report is about. And I mean, the figure are correct. I'm not saying that the report is lying. The persons have done that done this website is not, like, they don't have an agenda. It's correct. Everything is right. But it's kind of a tree hiding the forest. And as I said, by manipulating the data set just slightly and redoing the math and changing the way we look at the figure, I quickly managed to have this 4 times better competitor to show up as actually being slower than us. So it's only a matter of what you look at, how you look at it, and well, the type of math you do. So, as a person willing to buy an experimentation tool, and other than that, buying any kind of product or service, I wouldn't pay too much attention to one figure that you see on a website. But instead, do a real and serious comparison between the two tools or the X tools you have on the market before taking any decision.
Definitely a very good point for anyone looking at any product. And you have now done this analysis, and we know that, as you've said, the numbers, they're not wrong, but they just don't tell the whole story. And that's so important to keep in mind when you're purchasing any kind of solution, any kind of tool. So in the blog post that you talk about, you also discuss the Performance Center at AB Tasty. So what is the Performance Center, and why is it so important?
Yeah, Performance Center is an amazing feature. And to be honest, I'm quite confused that we are still the only one in the market doing that. Well, the main purpose of Performance Center is to accept the fact that with A/B testing you can do whatever you want. And I mean, like, for real. We won't advise you to do exactly whatever you want. But thanks to our tool, you can inject any type of JavaScript on your website. You can call for external libraries. You can implement dozens and dozens of widgets, inject images, video, redesign your entire website if you want. Check for external API, do asynchronous targeting, and so on and so on. You can do literally whatever you want. This comes with a price, obviously, and that's why we don't recommend it. But you can do it, and your price would be tag weight and performance impact. So with Performance Center, we decided that to let you keep doing whatever you want, but you will get alerts, notification, insights, warnings about what you are doing and how it could impact your website performance. So in the end, it's still up to you to take the decision. But you have that to know exactly what would be the impact. And most importantly, you will have a way to fix it if you want to fix it.
Right.
So as I said, I'm quite proud of this feature because it's a feature that is a lot used by our users. Our users love it, and we are the only one to do it for the moment. So that's I guess that's a good point for us.
Absolutely. It's definitely a differentiator, especially when someone is new to experimentation, perhaps, and they're sort of, just learning about tag weight and what that means and how it affects campaigns and their website performance overall. So, tell me a bit about tag weight and how it affects a customer's website. Why do we work so hard to keep our tag weight low?
Well, that's actually pretty simple. As with anything else on the internet, what you see on your screen, what happened behind the scene, everything that happened on the website, it has to cross thousands of kilometers of copper wire before reaching your device.
That's wild to think about, isn't it? Just wow.
That's true. When you think about it, yeah, it's wild. But that's something you need to remember. And the heavier the element you're trying to download is, the slower it will be to reach your destination. Well, your device. And that's particularly true when you're on a mobile device running a well with the poor coverage anywhere you are. So imagine that you are a mobile user. And our tag takes time to download the website you are visiting simply because a lot of campaigns are running, but only campaign that will be that target at testing desktop user. So your experience will be slowed down because of this campaign that will yes you will never see anyway. Obviously, as a visitor, you don't know that, but the impact is the same. Your experience will be bad because of poor design of the experiment tool. So our goal at ABTC since the very beginning of our projects about performance, one of our main pillar is to make sure that one visitor will only download what is needed for them. We don't want a mobile user to download desktop campaign. We don't want well any visitor to download useless content on his device because it will impact well its web performance, and it will be a pain for your conversion rate as well.
That's a great point. Yeah.
Yeah, and all the complexities on us, and it's quite well, I wouldn't say difficult, but it's something we have to maintain and build. But in the end, it helps reducing the individual size of each download by a lot, and that's the most important part of it. On a side note, I will also add that, and this might seem a bit abstract for a lot of people, but each byte of data being transferred in the same kilometers of wire, well, it has an energy cost and a natural resources cost. So reducing the amount of electrons traveling all over the world helps save power consumption, reduce the carbon footprint of the industry. So, as we say, every gram counts.
That's such a good point, and it ties right back to that performance center. So letting our customers know, when things are outdated or the tag is too heavy, and like actually gives them something actionable that they can do to make a positive impact on consumption, on energy consumption, on the planet, even if we want to say that. So that's great. So we've related to the tag weight and this sort of thing, like what's the relationship between flickering and website performance? What do we do at ABTC to minimize flickering and maximize performance?
Flickering, the hot topic of A/B testing. Well, that's, I would say, a tough question. Very often, not always, but very often, improving performance mean increasing the risk of flickering. And that's the ugly truth about flickering. If I wanted to be a bit cheesy and simplify everything, I would say that the best way to eradicate flickering for sure would be to completely freeze or mask the website until our tag is completely loaded and ready after everything else. Well, that would be a disaster for performance for sure, and for UX and for your conversion rate for sure. But that would be amazing for flickering. You wouldn't have any flickering at all. On the other way around, we could make our tag completely asynchronous and load at the very end of the website. And that way, our tag would be completely invisible in terms of performance impact. But the flickering would be gigantic, and that wouldn't be a good thing as well.
No.
And well, my daily struggle in my project and with my team is to find this sweet spot between the two. Improving performance without generating flickering, yet we'll still consider that performance is, at the end of the day, the most important thing to keep in mind because, well, a slight flickering, and I'm not saying we have flickering, but it can happen in some situation. Well, everybody knows about that. But so a slight flickering wouldn't have an impact, a real impact on your conversion rate, while performance will. Even a bit of performance leak will have an impact, particularly on mobile users. So performance is key and it's the most important thing. to remember. And if we need to take a decision between performance and flickering risk, I will always choose the performance solution.
Absolutely. Light bulb moment for me hearing you say that, for sure.
Mm-hmm. But thankfully, there are also things that improve both. Tag weights, dynamic imports, and only downloading what is needed for the visitor. It improves both. Sometimes we even let our user choose, because in the end, they are responsible of what they want to have on their website, as always. So there are some features such as deferred campaigns or the looping mechanism of our targeting that are in the end of our user. By default, it is set to favor performance, but if they really want to favor flickering, then they can change the default behavior. So it's up to them.
Great. And so in what ways does A/B Tasty prioritize website speed and load time? Like, what are we looking for there? What are we doing on those fronts?
Well, it's very simple. Each feature that is being implemented in our tag, whether it comes from my team, the tag team, or it comes from another one, meaning editor, targeting, experimentation, and so on, it has to be assessed since a few years. Before, we could release a lot of feature without looking too much at performance. Now it has to be assessed, and the potential performance impact is closely watched. We have probes, and every time we put a new feature in our tag, there are an automated tests that check performance. And if it is worse than before, then it has to be really legit as a feature to have an impact on performance. So the engineers that I have in my team that work on the tag daily, they are quite demanding on that. And well, you can trust me on that. They know what they're talking about, and performance is key for them as well.
We
so
trust you.
That...
Yes.
Thank you. So you can be sure that anything that is being released come with the best performance possible. Obviously, we also frequently improve existing feature when we consider that it could be a performance leak, or we even decide to remove it from time to time. And I have an example for that, because we removed recently a much appreciated feature in our targeting that basically allowed our tag to loop until conditions were met. It was a very convenient feature for a lot of situations, for a lot of users. It was very easy to use and extra, but it has a very high cost in terms of performance. So I was quite afraid to remove this feature because I was afraid of my user reaction on that. So we brought alternatives that require our user a bit more effort in setting up their campaigns. And we removed the feature, and we didn't find any downside, and literally nobody complained about it. So
amazing.
Yeah, I was very relieved to hear that.
Definitely.
So sometimes you just have to do it, and the solution is much simpler than you think.
Absolutely. It's sort of like people didn't know what they, didn't know what they needed until you give it to them.
Yep.
And then that's fantastic. And what a nice success story too.
Exactly.
So I know that A/B Tasty's uptime and availability is greater than 99.9%, which is as high as it goes. 100% is impossible. So why is it so important to have an uptime and availability of 99.9%?
Well, as you said, nobody can promise to have 100% uptime. That's just not possible, because the 0.1% is about the worst case scenario where everything starts to collapse and a gigantic part of the internet is temporarily unreachable. It happens. It happened a few times in the past. It happened now and then. And it's always a worldwide event that you will read in the news. Because every time it happens, because what we call a single point of failure has gone down and taking with it thousands of websites that rely on it. And A/B Tasty will be impacted, and your website will be impacted, and everyone will be impacted. At A/B Tasty, we use the best-in-class provider at the moment, AWS, GCP, Cloudflare, and Extra. And we also have procedure to be able to switch our most critical infrastructure from one to another if need be. So let's say that our primary CDN goes down, then we can switch to our secondary CDN, only having a few minutes of unavailability. So that's something we can do quite easily. However, if this provider fails, then it's easy to well, to fail as well. So hence the 99.9%. So why
Good
it is
point, yeah.
important? Why is it important? Well, because the service outage, it will mess with your data, with your A/B test, your analysis, and your overall experimentation and optimization strategy. That's because A/B test is a dependency of your website. And in some implementations, the tag not being available could impact the loading of your website. However, as I said, I've been working at A/B test for almost 8 years now, and this worst case scenario never happened so far. So,
phew.
Yeah, phew. But that's because we always had been in the 99.9%. So I won't promise it won't happen, but it
yeah.
shouldn't.
I think that's such an important point, though, because surely that there are other integrations that websites might work with. And, you know, if you're trying to create sort of an ecosystem of partners, you want to make sure that everybody is sort of, you know, around the same level of uptime.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thank you for highlighting that, the importance of that. So if a prospect or customer is looking at another solution that has 99.5% uptime, I mean, and availability, that sounds pretty good, but what would that actually mean in the long run? Like, what's the difference between 99.9 and 99.5%?
Well, that's, for me, it means one, it can only mean one thing. Like, as I said, when you have 99.9%, it means that your main risk comes from a global event that would impact everyone, the entire internet. Like, I don't know, Google goes down and then everybody will be impacted. So your main issue won't be A/B testy anymore at that time. When you have only 99.5%, well, first of all, it brings more risk statistically. And it's probably because your specific service has an additional dependency that could cause an additional and local single point of failure. So maybe in your own infrastructure, you have a single point of failure. Most of the time, this is because a provider can't commit on its own system. You should look closely at their procedure and risk assessment because, well, they can't solely rely on a well-known provider as we do.
That's really helpful to know about. And I think that anyone who's looking at those two options should just have that in mind and know to
Yep.
ask about that as well when they're evaluating any experimentation solutions, right? So thank you for talking to us about that. Now, I have a big question for you, Leo. I think you're ready for it, but why is execution time as important as downloading time? And is one more important than the other? Why not? Like, tell us, give us the tea.
Yep. I'm very happy you asked this question because, yeah, I have a lot of things to say about it. And, well, the short answer is both are very important. When you visit a website, there are two main things. Let's simplify it. There are two main things that happen. First, you download the content of the website, the skeleton, the text, images, video, third-party scripts, anything that is required for this website to work. And then step two, you execute the website. You mainly execute the needed JavaScript. So the first action depend mainly, not only, but mainly on your internet connection speed. The quicker it is, the faster you will get the content, the images and stuff. The second one depends on how fast your computer is and how good your hardware, mainly the CPU, is. So the faster your computer is, the faster it will be to render the website. Both are very important, and the Core Web Vitals from Google, they watch both, actually. The two are very important for them. A super lightweight tag, a tiny tag, but badly optimized on runtime will have a catastrophic impact on your performance, even if it's very small. So it will impact your overall conversion. So even if you put a 2 kilobytes tag on your website, but it is like running a lot of loops and a lot of weird stuff, then it will have a huge impact on your performance.
Good point, yeah.
And if I can be a bit teasy again, a provider that only advertises the downloading speed and tag size, I would tend to say they don't want to discuss the execution time because they don't feel very confident about it. At ABTC, we discuss both. When I'm with a customer discussing our performance, the two topics are very important for me, and I like to discuss both because we spend time improving the two parts. And I'm quite sure in a way that not a lot of our competitor could imitate at the moment. And it's quite simple to understand. I mean, the fact that they are not talking about the execution. Because a lot of people in the marketing industry, the digital marketing industry, they are now used to investigate the downloading time. It's very simple. You just have to open the network tab of your browser. You have a look at the numbers. And of course, you could miss the final point because it's not that easy. But you will have numbers to compare to. You will see the amount of milliseconds a tag takes to download. And it would be exactly like in the performance report we discussed at the beginning of this interview. You have a number, you have something to compare to, and it's easy to understand. So from, again, a marketing perspective, it's quite easy to advertise downloading time, while understanding and investigating execution time, it requires a bit of technical skills, a bit of JavaScript understanding and stuff, and the usual buyer, usual user will never bother digging into this topic. In the end, though, your visitor will be impacted, and so you will your conversion rate. So it's execution time is key, really.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I can even go further and say that when it comes to downloading time, most of the tools in our market, any A-B testing tool, personalization, recommendation, etc., we are quite more or less the same. We use the same mechanisms, the same provider, the same CDN. We all have similar performance. That's not where you're going to get the difference. At ABTC, we kept working on improving performance on the execution time. And that's really where we brought the game changer, where we have the differentiation with our competitor. I'm saying that, but stay tuned because we have a huge thing coming about downloading time that will, I think, change a lot of things on the way we perform in terms of downloading time. And I have no doubt at all that our competitor will follow us because it's really the game changer.
Very exciting. Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to commit too much. I would say it would be live in a few months and maybe a few weeks.
All right. Well, we'll keep our eyes peeled for sure.
Yeah.
Cool. So switching gears a little bit, A-B Tasty introduced dynamic imports several years ago. So what are dynamic imports and why are they important?
Well, literally dynamic imports are things that are imported on your device dynamically depending on the context and who you are. So this is part of our strategy since the very beginning of only serving the needed content to a specific visitor. As I said before, we don't want a mobile user to download campaigns that are for desktop user. We don't want to download a part of our tool, let's say widget, for example, if there are no widgets running on this page.
Good point.
And only dynamic imports can do that. This kind of means that we work on a just-in-time framework. And some could be worried about flickering when we do that, but the experience showed that, the difference is not that big and we don't have specific flickering because of that. And that's mainly thanks to cache and a lot of mechanism we implemented. So we keep the benefit of being just in time and downloading only the content needed without any downside. So that's amazing. There are also another very huge advantage of dynamic imports compared to the monolithic approach we had before and that some of our competitors are still doing. Let's say that you have a running campaign on your website and you have to remove, I don't know, a semicolon or a single character on a text. You have to do a very small adjustment on your campaign. So you do it, you put it to production. And this means that all of your visitors will have to re-download the full package again, even if only one single character have changed over tens of thousands of line of code.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. I mean, that would work, but with dynamic imports, the visitor will only re-download the campaign and only the campaign, not the engine, not the other campaign. That's it. That's the only thing they're going to download. And that's a huge improvement for us.
Absolutely. Yeah, that sounds like a better customer experience too. So, fantastic. So this has been an amazing conversation. Is there anything else that you wanted to add before we part ways, Leo?
Well, I can add something. I would be less corporate and more on a personal point of view.
Please go ahead.
Obviously working on tags, and I'm not only working on that on tags at PTC. I'm also working on data, SDK, everything very technical. And I really love it. I really enjoy it. It's exciting, and it's a true passion for me. But there are some things that is above this passion and this interest for me. It's well, let's say it's simple. It's taking care of the planet. This is my heart value. That's the most important thing in my life.
Yes.
And since I have this value, I'm used to have old phones and computer. That's my main device on a daily basis. I don't buy the newest fancy smartphone and stuff. So I know what it is to use a slow website. And to be very honest, I very often banish websites that are too slow for my personal usage. Or even mobile apps, if I see that they are not working well on my old phones, then I will stop using it or buy stuff on it. So
Interesting.
obviously, improving our tag performance, that's a professional goal for me because, well, my management asked me to do it, so I have to do it. That's something we want to do with the team. So that's again something very exciting for us, and it helps win deals and please our customers. So obviously, that's something we do for a professional reason. But that's also something I really enjoy doing because, well, that's what I trust into, and that's probably why I'm in charge of it at ABTC. Because if you put something passionate about it, you will have better results. And well, additionally, reducing the tags weight means reducing the need for storage, the amount of data being pushed through the wire that we discussed just before. Shrinking the tag to the minimum for each user prevents the CPU from overheating and overconsuming. All of it helps on my level to reduce the carbon footprint of the overall internet infrastructure, but also to keep the web light, fast, and available for as many people as possible, particularly in country where you have a fancy CPU and high-speed internet. And I already know that some people will have, let's say, an internal laugh when well, hearing this, but I consider that we are currently on a worldwide life-threatening emergency, and well, let's say that everyone has to do their little part for it, and I'm trying to do mine, simply as
I
that.
couldn't agree more, Leo. It is certainly, although it is not, something that I work on in my corporate life, it's something that I care about deeply. And I think that any company that can make a difference, any kind of difference in this very urgent emergency is that's work that needs to be done. So thank you for your work on it on a personal and professional level, Leo. Thank you as well for your time today, and I will make sure that I link to your blog so people can learn even more. But your explanations were great and really, really appreciate it.
Thank you, Margaret. Always